Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is the home of Jerry's percentages.
Jerry's loving this embarrassment of a Blue Jays season. They're an absolute tire fire.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Big week in the sports world. The World Cup kicking off on Thursday. U.S. Open on Thursday. What will you be watching on Thursday?
Golf. Golf, golf, golf.
Not the greatest.
Do yourself a favor, you can turn those TVs off on Thursday, because if Eldrick is on the tube, I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you, man. I'm more into the golf scene, more into U.S. Open, but I do love the World Cup once it starts. Now, I don't profess to be Mr. Soccer. I mean, if you're tuning into the show for hardcore analysis,
I'm not going to. I will not watch 1 second. Of
really? You're not intrigued at all?
I want to see the German coach just scratch and sniff.
Not one
There's
second.
That guy. Oh, see, I love the World Cup.
I know it's our property. Go ahead and watch it, but I don't
know. Well, it's on TSN Radio. It's on TSN and CTV as well. So you can hear it all here. You can watch it all on TSN. But, like, the opening game is not that great. It's Russia-Saudi Arabia. Like, yeah. Couldn't you call? I know that it's all based on the groups, and you had the draw, and there's nothing you can do about that. But
still, you might want to
call an audible.
Spruce it up a little.
Throw
bit.
Someone in there. Throw Spain in there or Germany or something. Shouldn't the previous winner be playing opening night? It's like in the NFL. If you win the Super Bowl, you start the next season Thursday night opener.
Yeah.
I understand they have the host playing in the opener, and Russia is hosting, and this is the way it works. They got Saudi Arabia. That's who they drew, and that's who they play. So in Russia and in Saudi Arabia, it's great.
Yeah.
For me, trying to amp up the game, it sucks.
No chance of amping that up.
No. But Iceland, I'm going to be watching their matches.
Yes.
For starters, they are a country of like 300,000 people. Like, yes. It is the lowest, I believe it's the lowest populated country in the world to ever qualify for the World Cup. I'm pretty sure that is a fact.
That's cool.
But the reason we support this is because the manager of Team Iceland, there is a new piece up on Sports Illustrated. I believe Grant Wall is the guy who's behind it, who has revealed a story. Now, I don't know if this will continue in Russia during the World Cup, but 2 hours before his team plays,
right,
the manager heads down to a bar
when
around
you say
the
manager,
stadium.
Are you talking the head coach?
Yes, I'm talking the head coach,
Babcock.
The manager, the main guy. This is Mike Babcock or John Gibbons or unemployed with the Raptors.
Used to be Dwayne Casey.
Vacancy. Yeah, exactly. Dwayne Casey finding a bar where all the supporters are 2 hours before the game and rolling in there and having conversations with the fans and revealing what their game plan is, what the starting lineup's going to be, what they have to look out for with the opposition.
Is this just his choice?
I guess so. Yeah, I don't think he's like
kinda
forced to do
routine.
It.
Does he have pints or is he just...
I'd like to believe he has a pint. He can't get puddled. I mean, all of a, if he comes back to the game and he's just a piss tank, that might cause him
It'd
some
be
problems,
awesome, though.
I would think.
Shows up a little late.
But how foreign does this sound as a North American sports fan?
So foreign, and I know where you're going to go with this. Why can't we?
I think it should happen. No, I'm not even going to have that take. I've been loaded with hot takes today.
Yeah, but on some level, it would be pretty neat.
Can you imagine Babs walking into the hot stove lounge with everyone greased saying, this is our starting lineup tonight. This is what we want to do. Austin Matthews on the power play. No,
this is what I'm doing
not.
In the neutral zone. This
no.
is how the team.
But that's because there's too much money involved. These guys are way too arrogant. Mike Babcock is way too great to do that. But he's not alone. Every coach is.
But just think about the obligations. Like, as a coach, you got to speak to the media. I think they have to speak after pregame skate every day, before the game, after the game. You think he wants to mix in a meet and greet?
Here's the thing, though. I think Mike Babcock.
It's not a meet and greet.
Well, it basically is. It basically is. Hey, people, I'm coach. This is what we're like.
But he's not under any obligation to do it.
And he's not under obligation to speak every day. Somebody is from that staff. He chooses to be the guy every time.
You're talking about Babcock.
I'm talking about Mike Babcock because I've done games in Washington where Trotz is available, but Todd Reirden goes out and talks. Mark Crawford will go out and talk sometimes for Ottawa. little different when the head coach is available.
And that was always the Lou way of doing things, but my understanding is that's going to continue with Dubas. So only Dubas will be speaking. That's why they hired guys. You know, Lawrence Gilman got hired. No one talked to him.
Right.
It's amazing. This guy was like a media darling in Vancouver. He was on TSN Radio in Vancouver all the time. We could have had him on weekly if we wanted to. Right. We could have called him up. There was no reason to. But he gets hired in Toronto, and his profile falters. He becomes a ghost. He's like, you get hired by the Leafs, and you're not the guy, GM or head coach. You're essentially Kaiser Soze. You're a myth.
Yep.
Can't talk to him. No. Don't know if they really exist. Don't even know if they speak. DJ Smith could be the next head coach in the island. I've never heard him speak. He's been That's the assistant true. Coach here for, what, 3 years?
Very nice man.
Oh, I'm sure he's a great guy. I've never heard him speak because Lou would not allow him to speak.
Well, and I think Babs, too. I think that's a
you're probably right.
A Lou and Babs thing. So other teams, I know the assistant coach speaks, just not here, and probably other organizations in other sports, too.
But this what this speaks to me, like this Iceland story, this manager, and I hope this isn't fake news. I hope it doesn't come out that this is a complete one-off just for the cameras or whatever.
Right.
That this is paying homage to what sports is really all about. You know, the fans that come out and support you and, you know, that it's so cool. It's such a cool story.
Right.
The idea that this guy would be humble enough to be like, I'm just going to go down there and talk with the guys. And, hey, this is what we got going on. Enjoy your night. See you later, guys.
Hopefully
handshakes on the way out.
Yep, see you.
Like, I think just, it's awesome. So cool. It's so cool. It's such a cool story.
But watch, Iceland does well at the World Cup, and he doesn't.
Big times, everybody.
Big times, everyone. Can't do it. I'm too busy.
Yeah.
Got media to do.
So it's shocking that they're in the World Cup. Like, so, like, think about that. Italy's not in. The Netherlands aren't in. Iceland is in. 300,000 people.
By all accounts, it's the place to be for a bachelor party now.
I've heard very good things. Very, very good things.
If you get remarried.
Italy's got to be in, man. Like, you talk about my interest level. I get interested when Italy plays because of all the Italian friends we have.
Right. Well, they're not happening. They're not showing up. They're not playing. All right, we got a good buddy on the line here from ESPN.
Yes.
He wears a lot of hats down there. We're going to talk predominantly baseball with him, but I think he does basically everything.
Does everything.
Back in the show, here's Adnan Virk. How you doing, Adnan?
Hey, O-Dogs, Jamie. I'm doing great to be with you guys, and I'd like to echo the sentiments of all the Italians, especially in Toronto. My God, we've got two little Italies. People don't realize this. St. Clair West, College Field West, always World Cup time. The Italians get after it like nobody else, so I am with you guys. It is weird. Got the World Cup starting and no Italy team in there. So, I don't know. We'll figure out a way.
Yeah, it's going to be different.
Some sad faces around those areas during this World Cup, won't there? Holy crap.
Well, and Woodbridge, right? You didn't even mention Woodbridge. You start going
up
there.
Oh, my God. Well, all of Vaughn, you're right. Forget about Woodbridge. All of Vaughn, the Italians taking over.
Right. Yeah, the flags, man. That's the guy who I feel sorry for.
The flag salesman?
The flag salesman at, like, you know, wherever
Colossus
he is.
At 7-400.
Yeah. That guy just lost a fortune. The amount of Italian flags that are kicking around during the Euros and the World Cup.
Yeah.
Those guys, that's their whole life, is selling those flags. And now it's completely off the market. So think about the little man, Adnan. Don't forget about that guy.
Yeah, 50% off the Italian flags. Get it back in 4 years, hopefully. All good.
Right, exactly. They'll get back in there in the future. So we wanted to get into this Shohei Ohtani stuff. I mean, this is heartbreaking news. It feels like he's destined for Tommy John. And yeah, I hope not. You knock on wood. But it sure feels more than likely that that's the direction that we're moving in here. And if he does end up going under the knife for Tommy John, he's off the radar until 2020. Like, this guy's made such an impact on the North American sports scene, let alone baseball and in Anaheim. Do you think he completely falls off the radar? Like, is that it? Is he just gone? And if he ends up, again, having Tommy John, what will the reaction be league-wide?
I think it's ultimately devastating. There's no question about it. But I don't think it's irreparable damage to him in his career because Tommy John is so commonplace now, Hayes, that a guy can get Tommy John, and they can come back as stronger as ever. That's crazy to say with such a major surgery, but that's the case now. Johnny Venters is pitching for the Rays. He was one of the most devastating setup men in baseball with the Braves. You know, for years, he was so good along with Craig Kimbrell. He's had three Tommy John surgeries. He's currently back in the majors. So, listen, if a guy can overcome one, and he can overcome three at this point. But I do share with you the fact that I feel demoralized because Ohtani was one of the best stories in the game. I mean, I couldn't wait. I'll be at the All-Star game in a month in D.C., and having Ohtani there, which I think he could have been, would have been amazing. I mean, you've got all the Japanese media who's fired up. You've got Asian Americans who are excited. And you just got people who want to see something different in baseball, want to see a guy who can hit and all can also pitch. And all of that, unfortunately, now is washed away. And I don't think it's a true, you know, comparison. But I do remember Matt Harvey, as great as he was the first couple of years, after Tommy John, he was never the same guy. And a young pitcher, relatively speaking, although Tony's younger than Harvey. Harvey's a little bit older than people realize. But remember, he was just such a sensation. Top five pitchers in the game, gets Tommy John, you know, came back, was never the same pitcher, overweight, partied too much. Now he's in the Reds. Nobody cares. I don't think that'll happen with Otani. But, I mean, like you said, 2020, that's an awfully long time to be able to be missing from the baseball radar.
You just mentioned D.C. Did you not know, do you guys not notice that when Ovi brought the cup and the cat, that Bryce Harper was nowhere to be found? Not in any pictures. Didn't want any part of it.
He's a Vegas fan.
Is that because of Vegas?
Yeah. Yeah. He was nowhere to be found or around that scene when Ovi and
I could see some jealousy steeped in that, too. Not even from a fandom's perspective, that Harper's the man in D.C. and Ovi got to the title first. Like, they haven't had one since, I think, 91 when the Skins won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Ovi beat him to the punch. I could see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't mind Harper doing it, I'll be honest, guys, because I'm like, you know what? He has been such a huge Vegas fan. Like, clearly, after Nationals games, they're interviewing when he's, like, wearing Vegas garb. So it would not, it would be awfully odd if all of a sudden he joined in the celebration. Although, I guess, in true sportsmanship, obviously, Ovechkin's a fellow superstar in D.C. Maybe you give him a little bit of love. But, you know, Harper's MO is to be a gamer at all times. So I could see him being a sore loser, so to speak. He's like, yeah, I don't care. I hate the Capitals. Let's go Vegas.
Well, we mentioned this earlier. I think what's being overlooked from that whole scene with the Caps at the ball game is how Ovechkin may be a first pitch trailblazer because he took two. You know, the first one was a brutal toss.
The second one was garbage, too.
But at least he got it there,
yeah,
right?
He got it
like
there.
Scherzer caught it. I think it was Scherzer. I mean, could that change the whole first pitch game, Adnan? Could we see that in the future? A guy throws a brutal one and he goes, I want two.
Yeah, I don't think so, fellas. Although, listen, now you want 50 Cent wants a mea culpa. You know, Mariah Carey wants another one. Roseanne would like to sing the anthem again. I mean, all of a sudden you got mulligans all over the place. But no, listen, those guys are on a roll right now. The party's been pretty crazy. I'm not one of these people who thinks they should tone it down. I mean, listen, Ovechkin's been a long time in the making. Obviously, one of the game's great superstars. He finally gets his chance to do whatever the hell he wants. Although I do think, as my friend John Chick pointed out, it's going to be interesting when he goes back and tips it to Putin, that all of a sudden, you know, that it was a political issue now. People are upset with Russia. All of a sudden, are they supporting Trump? Are they supporting Putin? Mm. Is Ovechkin taking it too far? Who knows? But no, I think it's just one first pitch, that's it.
Well, I want to get into this Vladdy Guerrero Jr. story. He's been shut down for about a month, and I know it's on the radar at ESPN. It's on the radar. Every baseball pundit, analyst, fan is aware of Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and what he's been doing. But I think the Jays have been reluctant to call him up. They obviously haven't. I don't think they want to call him up. Do you think this injury affords them the opportunity to basically say, that's it? Like, now we won't be bringing him up because of the injury. Then when he comes back, he's got a rehab. He won't be 100%. In other words, is this a built-in excuse for them to skate through the rest of the year without having to call him up?
100%. They don't want to bring him up. There's no question about it because they feel like there's really no urgency to do so. You know, the Braves brought up a 20-year-old player, Ozzie Albies, who's been terrific. He just hit a bit of a wall the last 12 games. Other than that, he was like MVP-type contender for the Braves. It's how good he's been. Ronald Acuna is 20 years of age. Braves brought him up. Alex Anthopoulos, of course, former Jays, president GM, now running things there. And Acuna was very good before he got hurt. But the point is, the Braves were a good team, and they realized they've got a couple stars from the impact players. The Jays are not a good team, right? They're not going anywhere. They had a nice start to the season. After that, have fallen apart. Can't hit, can't pitch. They got issues all over the place. So they don't like the fact that everyone's saying, hey, Vladdy Guerrero Jr. is the best prospect in the game. Why isn't Toronto calling him up? He's hitting .407 in Double-A baseball. He's torching opponents. But the Jays brass is saying, what reason do we have to bring him up? Obviously, service time then becomes an issue. You know, it's one more year before he goes to free agency. He's going to get a ton of money if he's going to be as great as we all think he is. You know, Eric Wedge was the former manager with the Indians. He was a manager of the year there, manager of the Mariners, now works the minor league system in Toronto. I've kept in touch with him because he worked with us at Baseball Tonight. He told me Vladdy Jr. is the best prospect he's ever seen. All right, Eric Wedge has been in baseball for 20, 30 years because that's the best I've ever seen. We can't push this guy through. So to your point, they're already desirous of not doing that. At the very least, the thought became, boys, why not put him in Triple-A? Okay, if you don't bring him to the majors, fine. But he's torching teams at Double-A. Put him in Triple-A. But they didn't want to do that. So you're right. Now the injury, you can let him rehab a little bit. You come back to Double-A, and you can put him at Triple-A for a little bit, or have him be a call-up in September. So then you give Jays fans a glimpse of his talent. He's completely healthy. You bring him up for a month, the team will be out of it, and you say, all right, here's a reason to sell tickets for next season. Here's a reason to get excited about the Blue Jays' future and go from there. But no, they don't want to call him up right now. Although everything about him is legit. You know, you mentioned the fact that in the States people are talking about it. We're here in Central Connecticut. He plays for the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. They just played the Hartford Yard Goats a couple weeks ago, which is 10 minutes from my house. And I unfortunately had to work, but I have people going from work there and they go, it's unreal. The one thing which is not known, if you're not following him, is he doesn't actually look like his dad. He's actually shorter and stockier, especially than the hips and the legs. So he looks more like a Miguel Cabrera. He's not like tall and lean like dad was, but he has all those skills, the rocket arm, the great hitting. I mean, it's unbelievable. I can't wait.
Well, and I guess the one knock on him is the body type, like you said, which he can't necessarily control the height, but there's already some chatter up here. I mean, he's dealing with the knee injury now that he's got to knock some pounds off, which I think as a 19-year-old, I mean, he's just raw talent right now. At some point, he's going to get it together in terms of his professional etiquette and the way that he performs in the offseason, eats and works out and all that kind of stuff.
You might as well knock it off right now.
Get after it now, right?
And as opposed to when you're 25 and you got 40 on that you got to get off. Trust me, it's not easy.
Yeah,
I wouldn't know or anything,
now.
But yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Baltimore just rolled through here and got swept by the Jays. Like, they are historically awful. And Kansas City's brutal. The White Sox are brutal. I mean, what do you make of this, Adnan? How bad some of these teams are. We're only 40% through the season, but these guys are on pace for like 40 wins, 45
yeah,
wins.
Yeah, the Orioles, they know they're horrific. Manny Machado's one of the best players in the game. He's going to go somewhere, so they have no reason to win. They're going to trade him to the highest bidder and reap the rewards. And Peter Angelos has been, you know, an owner who has tried to make some moves, but things haven't worked out, and therefore Baltimore's going nowhere, and you're right, they're going to be awful. I feel for Buck Showalter. He's a great manager. Final year of his deal, I don't think Buck comes back, and that probably goes both ways there. The Royals, listen, they had their windows. So, listen, 30 years of irrelevance. They won a World Series in 2015. You made the World Series in 2014. Now they're dreadful again. That young core, which all of a sudden then evaporated because Lorenzo Cain left to the Brewers. Eric Hosmer went to the Padres. Now you've still got Mike Moustakas, who actually signed on a bargain deal. But Alex Gordon, who's been so good for years, he hasn't been very good offensively. He's still good defensively. But their pitching really isn't very good. And then who was the third team you mentioned, Hayes?
Well, the White Sox. I mean,
the White Sox. So they actually want to be bad. I actually called one of their games, so I get to know them a little bit. I was calling the game on Memorial Day here in the States a week ago. I guess it's May 2 for us still. Mm-hmm. I was in Cleveland, and I talked to Rick Renteria, the manager, and some of the players, and you're right, they're awful, but they actually have a plan. I actually think they're going to be pretty good in a couple of years. They are meant to be awful. They're following the Cubs model of last place three straight years, the Astros of last place three straight years, and try to get good. They've got a guy in Yoan Moncada who's a very good player. They got him over in the Chris Sale trade with Boston. Jose Abreu, obviously, is a great power hitter, has been for a long time. After that, they're very lean. But they've got the top prospects in the game right now. They've got six top 50 prospects, probably the second or third best farm system. And all those guys are coming in about a year or two. So they're going to be awful this year and next year. But I think 2020, they actually get to 500. Then after that, I'd say watch out. The White Sox, I actually think, are going to be pretty good. Now, prospects we know can be fickle, right? Out of six top 50 guys, maybe three end up being studs and three are terrible. But at best case, they are going to be a very good team. And you're right. Right now, it's painful to watch them play.
Always great catching up with you, buddy. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks so much, fellas. By the way, I just got back from Vegas. I was there for the Crawford-Horn fight, which we had on ESPN+. I missed the Stanley Cup by one day. I flew in Friday, and of course, Game 5 was Friday. Can't you believe that? What a great team, though. I'm sure it was awesome.
It was incredible. Yeah, no, I can only imagine. And we'll see if they get back. I mean, Vegas, what a ride. And if they can be even just competitive next year, I think that's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
But we lose sight that they're an expansion team. Cup final expansion team. It's wild. Thanks, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Adnan Virk of ESPN.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. Sure. Good guy. Good Toronto guy. Good Canadian guy. Making it big down in the
Misses
States.
Misses it by one day. You got to squeak in there.
No kidding.
Don't you?
Just stay.
But he does everything for ESPN. Like, he does Baseball Tonight. He does college football stuff. So he does a lot of radio down there for ESPN.
Yeah, it's
a
Swiss Army knife. He does everything.
Yeah, so he may have had other priorities. He's got a wife and kids in Connecticut, too, so maybe that came up. No, sorry, you can't go to Vegas a day early to party with Ovechkin and Tiesto.
And Tiesto, that's right.
Oh. Yeah, the flags will be all over the city of Toronto by the end of this week, if not already. I wouldn't be surprised if on the way home we saw some flags.
Yeah, but who's the favorite? Who's the favorite?
Well, it's not even about the favorite. It's whatever your nationality is. So if you're Spanish, you're going
to... There's not a favorite to win the tournament?
Well, there is. I think France or Germany. It's France, Germany, Spain would be up there. Brazil, obviously, Argentina, maybe Portugal.
Would you ever put a flag in your car?
No, never.
Never.
Never for anything. For anything. But if I did, it would be a Canadian flag, first and foremost. Like
for Canada Day?
Well, I don't
know. The ultimate dad move.
Yeah. The Canadian flag.
Tank top and fire up the Canadian flag on the window.
Yeah. I've never been, I don't come from a flag family that rocks the flag, but I got buddies who grew up in those kind of households where the flag was out front all the time.
I think if I showed up at my dad's house with a flag in my car, he would flat out call me a loser. Like, that's what losers do.
Well, no, I mean, I don't know.
You support your team, you support your team.
Exactly.
Like, when the Leafs were on long playoff runs back in the day, there were Leaf flags all over cars.
Yeah. I've never been a jersey guy or anything, but, I mean, you respect people and their decisions.
Maybe I'll rock a Canadian flag during the World Cup.
No, you're not.
I'll put a Canadian flag.
That's who I support.
Well, I guess it's like a 30-day tournament.
Okay, so for a full month, you're going to have a Canadian flag on
just
your
to be
car.
That guy. You guys can all support your countries, but I'm going to support Canada.
Rip it off in a parking
lot. Why would you rip off a Canadian flag?
Because people are idiots. People walk by cars and rip off things all the time.
Well, that would be ignorant.
I guarantee you that one of our listeners has had a flag on their car, and somebody has ripped it off in a parking lot or on their driveway in the middle of the night or something. Yeah, but people are idiots, and that's what they do. I've never been flag guy. Steph's family has.
I could see the Italian
flag.
Oh, Italy in the World Cup?
Yeah.
It'll be at half mass for the next month because they're not in the World Cup.
I know.
I could see that. Joe from the Bridge with an Italian flag half mass on the Camaro.
Fuzzy dice only halfway down?
Halfway down, an Italian flag halfway down.
Really?
Black armbands, not in the World Cup. Starting Thursday, right here on TSN Radio. You can watch it on TSN and CTV.
Are you 100% sure there's no games during our time slot?
100% certain of that.
There was a chance of one, but they dropped it.
What?
No.
The opener starts at 4:05. Yeah. You'll find it online at TSN.com.
Who's getting the free vacay out of this?
I think Scotty Mack and Lise Lunch.
Well, Scotty Mack's back. He legitimately deserves.
No, but I mean,
the morning show
gets to not come in?
Morning show's off a lot, I believe. I don't know. They're picking and choosing different games. You can hear every game, I think, online.
Yes.
There's got to be some games around 4 o'clock.
I don't think so. We'll look into it. Mitch Korn will join us, goaltending coach with the Caps. Milan Lucic, his name is out there a lot, being peddled as a guy who could potentially get dealt. Yep. Should get into that. His
Their names are starting to get peddled. Like, that's the offseason, right?
I love it. Get it public, man. You know how I feel about that?
Make it public.
Publicize everything. Overdrive continues on TSN 2.
You guys have a rule on how early, like, what's too early to call someone in the morning? Like, what is realistic?
8 o'clock.
A guy called me back today at 6:44 a.m.
Well,
who does that?
What was the call back for? Was it business, though? Like,
it was a random call. I called him to tell him something yesterday, and his return call happened at 6:44 a.m. Yeah, that's unacceptable.
That's totally unacceptable.
It woke me up. I couldn't go back to sleep. You don't call someone at 6:44.
Never.
He was leaving you a voicemail.
No, he was in construction, and he thinks that because he gets up early that everyone should just be...
Do you not put your phone on airplane mode at night?
I don't.
I always do.
You want to hear a story about a call. I got a call when I was in Vegas. My phone started ringing at 4 a.m. Vegas time.
So 7 o'clock here.
7 a.m. Eastern.
Is your wife?
No, it wasn't. We have an alarm at the house, and my mother-in-law was staying over. She opened the back door when the alarm was on. It's the alarm company.
Oh, God.
4 a.m. in Vegas.
You're a goon.
I'm just asleep, and it's my phone's going off, and I'm like, what the hell? Who is calling me right now?
Yeah.
And I didn't answer because I'm like, I'm not answering this. And then immediately it dawned on me. I'm like, I guarantee you the alarm went off. It's the alarm company.
Minute I go to bed, alarm mode. I'm sorry, not alarm mode.
Airplane mode. That's a smart move. I never
because
think to do that.
Think of all the buddies we have around the world. I've got people in Edmonton, so they're gooned at midnight their time. It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's a go-to move.
Always put on airplane mode.
Great idea.
At when I go to bed, and then in the morning I turn it on and see if I've got any texts or emails or anything.
Mm-hmm. It's a smart move. 6:45 a.m. though is totally.
Because my alarm, the alarm company's hooked up to, like I've got the motion detectors and sensors and all of that. That goes onto the iPad.
Runners beside your car.
Yeah, got the iPad and all that. That goes to the iPad. So if there's any motion, it goes to the iPad. I can see.
I see.
But I don't need it on my phone.
You see that Kim Jong-un's got that going in Singapore
again? Got the runners again?
The runners beside his car.
Those guys are in good shape. I love it that they're in the suits.
Why do they have to be in suits? Like, that's the one thing I would say, okay, fine, you're paranoid, whatever, I understand it based on who you are in the world. Let the guys run around in Nikes.
Give them some
and
Lululemons.
Yes, Lululemons and Nikes.
Where are
Why are they in
the
suits?
Guns? Where are their guns?
I guess it doesn't matter.
Must be in holsters.
You can't hide it in a Lululemon? You can't hide a gun holster in a Lululemon pair of pants?
I think it's hilarious.
If a guy can do a backflip at a party with a gun in his pants, I'm sure they can find somewhere to put it.
Technically, yes. He couldn't, though, because he blew off somebody's foot.
That guy had some moves.
I need a follow-up on that guy's story. I need to find out if he was suspended.
Was there any action?
I think minimum a suspension. You have to be going into that meeting with your superior at the FBI thinking, at best, I'm suspended for a month.
Yeah.
Like I'm at a party acting like I'm Michael Jackson and my gun goes off.
He shot somebody, too.
Yeah,
he shot somebody
right in the knee, I think. He took somebody's knee out.
Or I thought in the foot.
Either way.
Just think about how bad that story could have been.
No kidding.
If he killed somebody? Oh, my God.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction. Shot Marvin in the face.
Exactly. There's no humor.
Out of nowhere.
We don't have the ability to laugh about this story if he shot some guy in the face. That said, whoever got shot in the foot doesn't find it that funny either.
No.
There's no humor in that.
I agree.
Like, can you picture yourself being shot in any capacity where you might laugh about it?
No,
I hate guns. The idea of being shot is just, it horrifies me.
Yeah,
I don't like being around guns, seeing guns.
No, me neither.
No.
Me neither. But I can't picture, like, even a flesh wound where a year from now, I'm going to start laughing about that.
Yeah, no.
I think I'm always bitter about being shot.
I guess.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing.
No. All right, so I got to get this right. What's this title? You're just sending this to me?
Who,
I just
want to
make sure
title?
I get this right. The director of goaltending.
You just call him Yoda.
Well,
you know why? Because he's the Yoda of goaltending coaches.
I guess, but that is very prestigious. The director of goaltending with the Washington Capitals.
I know
he's a cup winner.
The head guy,
the main man down there. Here's Mitch Korn. How you doing, Mitch?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you guys?
We're probably not doing as well as you are. What's your party scene been like the past 4 or 5 days?
I've taken it all in. I've watched everybody celebrate. I've had a Diet Coke or two.
Mm-hmm.
And just try to not get in any trouble.
Any fountain swimming in your future or in your past?
No, I was with the group, and I actually just prior to them entering the fountain,
you left.
Made it inside the restaurant where some of the other guys were and ended up having to use a little boys' room. And then I looked outside, and there they were in the fountain.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
I love it.
Everyone's loving it around the hockey world. And, you know, take us through the ride. I mean, coming into the playoffs, even especially as the director of goaltending, you had Philip Grubauer, who had was starting and started the first couple games. Were those tough decisions, or where was his game at, and where was Braden's?
Well, before I answer that, let me just go back a moment ago because you made a comment about the fountain. So let me just say something there.
All right.
It has been unbelievable these last few days how there's no negative news. Nobody's turned over cars. There's been no fires. That the players have ingrained themselves with the fans. The fans have been around. It's been a giant party for everybody. And everybody, while it's been fun and has been so well behaved, or anything that's happened was in good fun. And I haven't heard, honestly, of one incident, though I'm not that connected. But it's crazy how well behaved, if you will, everybody's been. It's fantastic.
Well, that's what you're looking for, right?
Absolutely. You know, we've all heard the horror stories of teams that win and teams that lose, and it's an excuse for somebody to destroy something. And none of that has happened, thank goodness, knock on wood. So it's all fantastic. You asked what the director of goaltending was. Well, you know, Jamie, you've been a goalie coach in this league, right?
Yes.
And I had done it for 26 years. And going into this season, I had turned 60. And I just didn't want the grind anymore. But I wanted to be involved. We had an outstanding goalie coach in Scott Murray, who had worked with me for 3 years in Hershey as our Hershey minor league guy. He was ready and so up on the so-called modern analytics and the, all the head stuff. And, well, you know, there's a good synergy between the two of us. He was ready, and in some ways I was ready. And so the Capitals were kind enough to have created this position to allow me to spend more time at home, to not have to grind it out day to day, but to manage what we call the goalie department. So maintain the relationship with the athletes, but coach the coaches. And that's what I did this year. And honestly, it was great for me. It was a breath of fresh air. And I really enjoyed that. And that's what a director of goaltending does.
With Mitch Korn, the director of goaltending with the Washington Capitals. Noodles referencing the first couple of games where Philip Grubauer got the start because of the way he played down the stretch, and I guess comparatively the way that Braden Holtby played as well down the stretch. And then the TSN turning point was Holtby getting in there late in game two and then standing on his head in game three against Columbus in the first round. What did you make of that whole scene? I mean, you've seen it all throughout your many years in the NHL, but the backup goalie getting the start game one of the first round and then losing the first couple of games at home, what was that ride like from your perspective?
Well, it was a universal decision in terms of starting Philip Grubauer. His numbers, his results, his analytics, all of that pointed toward Philip starting the series. And you know, sometimes you just have to make a hockey decision. And we made a hockey decision. And I think the most impressive part of all of that was not that we made a hockey decision, was the manner in which Braden Holtby handled it. He was amazing. He was fantastic. He whether he agreed or disagreed, he was an unbelievable pro, and he prepared himself for the moment that you didn't know would come, eventually probably would come, and he was ready when it came. And I if you look back a year ago, it wasn't much different with the Pittsburgh Penguins, because Matt Murray was starting that series. Marc-Andre Fleury was not. And Mark, unbelievable pro, just like Braden, totally supportive, prepared themselves for the moment, and opening night, first game of the playoffs, in warm-up, remember, Matt Murray got hurt. And what does Fleury do? He goes in and wins two rounds. So that's a big part of the story for me. And it all worked out fantastic. We got off to a slow start, Phillip's first experience, and Braden came in on the white horse because he was ready, and he took care of business.
Mitch, can Grubauer be a starter in the NHL, in your opinion?
Absolutely. He has, at different stretches, prior to me getting here, had to be called up and play, played a significant number of games in the American League, and his game has come just so far, and he's got, knock on wood, in all his years pro, he's been really durable and has come off the bench in occasions. He's so strong mentally. He's come off the bench in certain occasions, and it's like he started the game ice cold. You know how tough that is, Jamie.
Yeah.
And he's just done an unbelievable job watching him grow these last three seasons, particularly the last two. And I think he is more than capable of taking a team as a number one goalie.
The parade is tomorrow in Washington. Who should we have our eye on in terms of a speech that could go completely off the rails but be thoroughly entertaining?
Well, you know what? I don't know who. I have not seen the agenda of who's speaking. And so I really don't know. It really probably depends on how much alcohol is on the bus, I guess.
We hope a lot. That's what we're betting
on. I think
on.
Tom Wilson can deliver a speech that can go offside.
I think Holtby. Goalies generally.
Could be. Holtby could give the Corey Crawford speech from a couple of years ago. You never know.
You know, I don't see Holt dropping an F-bomb. Didn't Corey drop one, or was it Patrick Kane?
No, it was Corey Crawford. And even Johnny Quick did too.
But I don't Braden is way too you've heard Braden speak, really composed, very articulate. Doesn't mean that those guys aren't minus some inspiration. But I don't know. I'm hoping that I don't know. That's a really tough question. I'm sure Ovi will, in his broken English, will entertain for sure.
We're looking forward to it. Enjoy it down there tomorrow, and congrats on winning the Cup. Thank you for doing this today, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Thank you very much. It's good talking with you.
There's Mitch Korn, the director of goaltending with the Cup champs.
You're right, Chicago! Biggest bunch of beauties in the league. They worked their nuts off for this trophy. No one will ever take this away from us. We're the champs.
That's Frank the Tank.
That's Corey Crawford, a.k.a. Frank the Tank.
So awesome.
We got to play that one more time before the end of the show. That's so good.
I hope someone matches that tomorrow
Chicago.
In Washington.
Chicago. Doesn't he yell
so
Chicago
good.
To start?
Yeah, I think he does. He gets up there. Because there were like a million people at that parade.
For sure.
I don't know how many are going to be there tomorrow. There'll be a couple hundred thousand minimum.
That's the thing. You were mentioning it the other day, Brian, about security in Washington. It's a lot different. You know, the Rangers had a ticker tape parade. I mean, if they have it here in Toronto, like it's different cities. But like Washington, there's such a focus on security in that city, and especially if they go by the White House and run into protesters. And
well, that's a good point too. You can't ask them to leave,
right?
Like if it's public property, you can't ask the protesters to move. Like I guess you can ask
off,
but if they say no, what are you going to do? You're not going to arrest them so that the Caps can have their parade.
Well, maybe you should lay in there for months on end.
They are generally always there. The times I've been to the White House a couple of times.
What do you do in life that you're just a protester?
You protest.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You protest. The director of protesting.
Exactly.
The director of
protesting.
I like that handle. It's a great. We need to upgrade our handles here. Not just host or co-host. The director of hosting.
You're the director of Overdrive.
Okay. I'm the director and senior vice president of mailing it in.
Yes. Noodles?
I don't know.
Create your own title.
The director of...
Soups?
No, soup. I did have a soup, but I would say the...
Amateur soups.
The glue guy.
The glue guy.
Director of glue.
The horse. Everyone needs the glue
horse.
Guy.
Yeah.
We were talking to Eddie Olchuk in the 4 p.m. hour about the stud process with Justify, and he's going to be out... What did he call it again?
I wrote it down. Shed?
The breeding shed. What's your plan this
times
weekend?
A year
I'm going to the breeding shed.
You got any plans tonight? The boys are getting together. No, yeah. I can't. I'm off to the breeding shed.
That's what I'm going to call the chalet in Collingwood.
The breeding shed.
Welcome to the breeding shed. Only you don't get paid.
Yeah.
Justify's going to make $250,000.
I have to pay.
It's the opposite. The breeding shed where you lose money instead of making it. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues on the TSN app. Best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the MLB board tonight, I'm fading Baltimore with everything I have. Red Sox tonight, under the number in the Jays game, under the number in the Seattle-Anaheim game tonight. Throw down 20, you can score 90. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Marlies at home tomorrow night with a chance to win the Calder Cup. So that'll be exciting down at Rico.
Yep.
Tee that up
game.
Tomorrow. Jays in Tampa tonight.
I might be exiting early tomorrow to catch that game.
the director of scouting for the Marlies. You got to get down there and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they released extra seating. Like, they're expecting a packed house tomorrow night.
I've never seen a team. Have you ever been in the building to see a championship? At any level?
I don't know. That's a good point. I've never been.
I want to see one.
I watched Boston win the cup in Vancouver. I was there. And I won a championship in the minors, like in the IHL, which is the equivalent of the AHL. Myself and Tommy Salvo.
Man, I haven't won
Salvo.
Anything. Nice. I won the World Juniors, and that's it.
That's not bad, though.
That's all right. It's nothing.
It's like pro. I wanted to win a Stanley Cup and do this during a speech.
You're right, Chicago! Biggest bunch of beauties in the league. Worked their nuts off for this trophy.
The best thing about those parades is you could say anything and you're getting a huge ovation.
Yeah.
You go up and just start mumbling.
Say, I hate every one of you. Yeah.
I hate Chicago.
Either way.
Doesn't matter. You never know. People, it's a guaranteed lock standing
Maybe
ovation.
Maybe it's Jay Beagle.
Maybe.
He's a bad dog.
I'm expecting someone to step up tomorrow. Someone's got to take it to a completely different level. So I look forward to that. We'll see what happens. And I guess Golden State, they're going to have their parade. It's probably not even a parade anymore. It's a brunch. Yeah. Come down and meet the Golden State Warriors.
Come down to Denny's, have some eggs, and meet Kevin Durant and the trophy.
Or come to the new IHOB. You hear about that?
Yeah, IHOP is changing their name.
What?
Yeah, IHOP is allegedly changing their name to IHOB, and the B is standing for burgers. So from International House of Pancakes to International House of Burgers.
I saw that.
It's getting in the burger game, because that's what we need. It's more hamburger joints.
That's a bad move.
IHOP's so good.
You know what, though? I like IHOP. We're going to talk more about it tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We are.
We'll chat then.